And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today is Pastor Bill Shishko. Pastor Bill, it's an honor to have you back with us today.
Oh, I count this a great honor, Dan, and I'm very excited about what we're going to be dealing with today.
We call you Pastor because that's what you like to be called. You don't like to be called Reverend, and I admire that and respect it. But you truly are a pastor. You're a pastor to me in many ways, and you're also a pastor to those up here in the Hudson Valley area where this program is originating. And I'm thinking of a man in prison that you have befriended and have guided him in pastoral ministry and probably many others. So thank you, Pastor Bill. It's an honor to have you on with us today.
Well, that's interesting. I won't mention the man's name because he is incarcerated. But interestingly, Dan, it was that man's response to the previous A Plain Answer on the subject of communism that prompted me to do this one. So again, I won't give his name, but I'm very, very thankful for him. He's a very avid Redeemer listener, as are many who are incarcerated there in the Hudson Valley.
Yeah. Well, this is a big subject before us. You feel like you're fighting City Hall, and it shouldn't be that way. We are so very broken on this particular issue that even our government schools have a tendency to push collectivism and essentially communism. They may not know it, but they're doing it. And so those of us who are advocating for homeschooling and private Christian schooling see that as a way to bypass some of this brainwashing that's occurring. But I want to hear your thoughts today, Pastor Bill, and why don't you lead us in what you're going to talk about now?
One of my lines is they call it brainwashing. They say everybody brainwashes. The issue is who washes your brain. in the last A Plain Answer, and I appreciate some of the responses I got, maybe you got them as well, it was on the subject of socialism. But that's going to bring us today to communism. So I'm going to build on the first one on socialism, but really develop the second. And I want to remind the listeners, I've been this way before I was converted, my senior year in high school, counterculture days in the 60s. I had my pilgrimage for about a year or so with Marxism that was popular at the time. So it's one of the reasons why I'm really quite captivated with that. You know, when you use the words collectivism, which is right, it's a socialism, or in today's democratic socialism. I have to admit, I bristle when I use the term because they really are. It is a contradiction in term. But this so-called democratic socialism, it's an economic concept where you bring about common ownership by political means. It really doesn't work out like that. And the fact of the matter is, socialism as it's described never happens. And that's because, as we dealt with on the last program, among other things, socialism is the stealing of people's property. It's an institutionalized violation of the Eighth Commandment not to steal, of the Tenth Commandment not to covet. And I think, as you pointed out last time, you can really draw on the other commandments as well. And anything that is an explicit violation of the commandments of God is not going to succeed. Mm-mm. But this lack of success in socialism, economic socialism, interestingly enough, it's addressed in what I'm going to call communist theory. Communist theory, which is commonly called communism, there's different meanings, different goals in it, but communist theory has as its end goal, it is a religious commitment that is demonstrated by both a political commitment and activism. And the point I want to make to your listeners today, not only is it a religious commitment, but it's a counterfeit of Christianity. And I really want people to see this. It brings up the question, so what is religion? Religion, friends, religion is a faith commitment. When Paul is in Athens, and we read this in Acts chapter 17, his connecting point with the Athenians is that they were very religious. And it could also be interpreted superstitious. But for practical purposes, it's you call them religious. And what's a religion? Well, religiousness is something, certainly something that you believe, is going to bring you some kind of blessedness, truth or prosperity or peace or whatever it would be. And please, everyone is religious. They have some ultimate good that they hold to by faith. So when people say to you, well, I'm not religious like you are, I say, no, everyone's religious. The issue is, what is your religion? And we could deal with that some other time. An atheist is religious. He has a faith commitment that there's no God, and that somehow your life is better off because you live in a world of pure chance. Well, but it's still religion. Communism has an ultimate good. The ultimate good of, I'll call it theoretical communism, or religious communism, is the theoretical good is each, we come to a world in which each serves according to his ability, and each receives according to his need. Now, I don't want to jump ahead, but that's a counterfeit right there of what new heavens and new earth is. Mm-hmm. Each will serve, according to his ability, and each will receive according to his need. So right at the outset, that's a counterfeit of what we call rightly, the new heavens and the earth. But more to the point here, it is a counterfeit of what we read in Acts 2 and in Acts 4. Yes, in Acts 2 and Acts 4, you read of the Christians, the early Christians, having everything in common and meeting one another's needs. Here's the difference. That was by grace. That was done voluntarily. That was done out of a joy in the Lord. And in a real sense, it did anticipate new heavens and the new earth. It was meant to. Theoretical communism is not that. That kind of communism works out in history, does not come by grace. It comes by force. And what you read in Acts 2 and Acts 4 and the goal of human history, that doesn't come by nature. That comes by God's grace. Communism has a theory of history in which, implanted in nature somehow, there is going to be this ultimate goal of from each according to his ability, and to each according to his need. And it comes, I hate to use a fancy word, but it comes by what's called a dialectic, in which there's a status quo, what is, and then there's a rebellion against that. What's rebelled against becomes the status quo. And then that's rebelled against, and that's rebelled against, and that's rebelled against, until eventually you come to this communist ideal, again, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. That is, at every point, a counterfeit of what God's grace in the Christian faith is. Now, Dan, I can go on here to develop that more, but I'm sure you've got some interaction you want to give. I don't want to make this a lecture.
Well, I'm very sensitive to an issue because it touched me personally in the past year or two, and that is, there's some pastors out there that are under the covers basically a communist, or at least socialists, and they cover it up. And they use the scriptures to try to push their agenda. It's very deceptive. It's subtle, and it's very what I would call woke, and it drives me nuts. And I want to take that pastor and give him a boot so that he never comes back to the pure church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, nor should he be permitted to
no.
do that. And Dancy, here's the thing, and this is why this is so important. Communism is a counterfeit of Christianity. The most extensive treatment of it, and it's a heavy-duty book, is Francis Nigel Lee's Communist Eschatology, which you can get actually as a PDF. But for that reason, because it's a counterfeit of what is true, it at various points will tend to have appeals. I put down four things, a lot more I could do. But let me be specific so I can kind of put some meat on the bones. Like the Christian faith, which has a view of history which is true, communism has a view of history. For theoretical communism, this is a predestined end, from each according to his ability and to each according to his need. This dialectic that we mentioned has a predestined end of working that way. In fact, frankly, that's what began to help move me away from communism to the Christian faith. What do you replace communism with?
Yes.
And a right view of the Christian faith does have a view of history. We'll come to that, but please see that. Now, connected with that, communism, theoretical communism, has a view of Messiah, a view of a savior. Communism, in its outworking in history, never just works out by forces rebelling against things. There's always a leader. There's always a Messiah. In the 20th century, whether it be Lenin, and you could go back to utopian communities where it was the same thing, but in the 20th century, these were the leaders. These were the quote-unquote messiahs. Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Castro, Pol Pot. For me, it was Che Guevara, who was an insurrectionist in Bolivia. It's interesting how it morphed to the party,
yes.
Which would be almost, that was the messianic force. Well, and it's interesting, here again the clone, the means of a Messiah uses living sacrifices. We're all familiar with that language from Romans chapter 12. We are living sacrifices in Christ. That's a glorious thing, incidentally. There's living sacrifices in communism too, as it's worked out in history. In order to follow communism, you've got to die. You either die to the state, or you die, period. And whether communist exponents like it or not, that's the historical truth. And it is a clone of the living sacrifice that marks Christianity. Now, this is where the letter from the Redeemer listener really piqued my interest. He wrote, I'm quoting him, he said, apropos, Dan, of what you said, the national teachers' unions are theoretical Marxists. They know what they're doing and what their subversive goals are, as do the power brokers in the Democratic Socialists of America, who cynically manipulate the crowds who think their radical personal autonomy, I'm going to do what I want, that's autonomy, is going to be perfected under, you use the word, collectivist socialism. And here, boy, when I read this, Dan, wow. What they do not realize is that they, the Democratic Socialists and their fellow travelers, are blithely walking into an incredibly deadly trap that deliberately kills individualism, whether healthy individualism, as in true Christian liberty, or in its current godlessly insane form of everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. Wow.
He really writes well and think that he's incarcerated. I think he's had a lot of time to put the pieces together, Pastor Bill, and Christ has awakened his spirit, and now things are really making sense.
One of the reasons I'm privileged to minister to him, and I want to see more of his writings get in print.
Yeah.
Again, because he's incarcerated, we won't use his name. Well, that brought me to this, Dan, and it brought me to this because this was where I was as an exponent of communism or Marxism back in the late 1960s. Communism has a view of discipleship that requires total commitment. And that view of discipleship requiring total commitment means you see yourself in union with, not with Christ, which is the Christian life, not with Christ and his kingdom, because they're inseparable, the Christian life, but you are in union with the state and with its leaders. You are part of something bigger than what you are. And Dan, that's a big part of the appeal of young people, to young people, of communism. And going further, they really believe that brings them freedom. And the fact of the matter is, it brings bondage. The true Christian faith brings freedom. And that's a marvelous thought. Martin Luther developed it beautifully in his treatise on the Christian man, on the freedom of the Christian man. Mm. The Christian faith brings real freedom. In fact, let me put it this way. It brings real fulfillment to the individual. The other brings bondage.
Yes.
In which humanity is obliterated. I'll give you a quick illustration that I'll obviously never forget. When I was in China a number of years ago, and of course I was fascinated when I was there just to observe a culture that had been something of an ideal for me back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to get on the train to come to Beijing. And I was a New Yorker. I couldn't get over it, though. There was quite a gap between the train and where you got on the train, and it would be very easy to fall into it. So I asked the man that I was with, who spoke English, 2 minutes, the train came in, and then 2 minutes later the train left, hundreds of people getting off, hundreds of people getting on. And I said, but what happens if someone falls on the tracks? He didn't bat an eye, and this was a professed Christian.
Mm-hmm.
The trains keep moving. They must keep moving. Why? Because the state has ordained it. Well, you talk about a gross but real example of humanity being obliterated as overabends being renewed in the Christian faith. And let me wrap, because I know we have a lot to discuss. That brings us to the fact that that communism is a counterfeit of Christianity, because it does have a view of the end, if you will. It has an eschatology.
Yes.
Okay? And it's going to be victorious. One of the reasons why Christians have lost their hold on dealing with communism effectively, we have a pessimistic eschatology.
Oh, Bill,
you're
on to something. I totally agree. People have no idea how important this is.
Oh, it is. It is. And that's what one of the things, again, I wrestle with. Francis Nigel Lee's Communist Eschatology helped me with this. Christianity has a view of Christ's return. God is working in history by his grace, and the knowledge of the glory of God is going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. And yes, it will culminate perfectly in new heavens and new earth. But there's an historical process that's there. Communism has the same thing, but it is never accomplished.
No.
Never. It always ends up being totalitarianism. And the reason for that is because, quite frankly, communism is an idol. It makes an idol of the state. So there's my spiel. I got to conclude. You always ask for my concluding remarks, but we got a few minutes to go. Talk with me, Dan, please.
One thing that came to my mind as I'm hearing you talk about this is that there was a young man who had a practice of communicating with his peers, maybe some who were slightly younger than him, on college campuses, and he was polite, He would talk with them. He would not lord it over them. He had a kind and gentle attitude, yet he had a strong mind. And the elite, the leftist elite, the communists, if you will, could not beat him. He was making headway. And so they used their next available option. They assassinated him.
Yep.
And I'm talking about Charlie Kirk, whose death we recognized 2 days ago from a year ago. And so it's only been a year. He's been gone. And his thoughts live on because they were biblical thoughts. I came to appreciate him later in his life, and I realized, wow, this guy really had his act together because he was a Christian man and because he was acting out Christian principles. And it turns out he was extremely smart and extremely educated. He would take courses, you know, one course at a time, Hillsdale, here, there, wherever, and he really knew what he was talking about. And we lost a good brother there a year and 2 days ago.
Dan, that's such a powerful and painful illustration. And yes, Charlie Kirk was gracious, kind. I think that's one of the reasons why the left hated him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was not a hellfire and brimstone. He did what Paul did. He reasoned with people in the synagogues and in the public square. And Dan, for all of your listeners, this is not saying Christianity is a head trip. It's a heart trip if you want. But as you wrestle with the Christian faith, form of sound doctrine, mm-hmm. which we've been doing every week on Visit to the Pastor's Study, portion of Holding All Things Together, that sound doctrine is health-giving doctrine.
Yeah.
You think clearly, you act clearly, you reason clearly. And if Christians would but think beneath the surface and deal not just with communism, but with many of the other ideologies, you'll see that they are clones. And again, you mentioned woke a while ago, because modern forms of Marxism, they're not first economic, they still have that. They're racial. Yeah. By way of this rebellion against the status quo, somehow we're going to attain racial equality. Whoa, wait a minute. It doesn't work like that
No.
in the nature of the case. What we need to do is be more radically committed to the doctrines of the scriptures that
to
say
Jesus.
God made of one blood all nations.
Oh, yes.
So, and actually race is really, it's a social construct, but that's again for another day. But that black brother, that Hispanic brother, that Asian sister, that's my brother and sister through Adam.
Yes.
Okay, and doing that is the answer to the woke version of racism, treating genders. There has been oppression of women. There is abuse of women. I get that. But woke is not going to change that.
No, not at all. The other day in the credit union, I happened to see an old friend. It took me a minute to recognize that it was this guy. And I always loved this guy. I worked with him at IBM. I loved his laugh. And I had kind of forgotten that he was black. It's like that wasn't a factor at all.
Exactly.
This man was real, and he enjoyed laughing, and he had a love for people. And I can say his name. It's Vinny or Vince, whatever. And it was so good to see this brother again, and he is a brother. And praise God. I know of a lady at church. My wife and I know her. And I didn't even realize she was black at first. She's very black, but you didn't see it. What came through was the love of Christ.
Amen.
This lady
Amen.
Loves people. She loves Jesus, and it flows out to the people. And I want to see us get to that more and more. Pastor Bill, we got 2 minutes left.
Yeah, okay. That's so true. Please, my plea, I got a concluding remarks, but this is what precedes it. Please live radically out of your Christian faith.
Yes.
And in doing that, you do have the response to the counterfeit of Christianity that's called communism. And Dan, quite frankly, that's going to demand our repentance.
Yes.
Our racist attitudes, we need to repent of them. Our anti-women attitudes or toxic masculinity, we need to repent of that and start thinking clearly from, we use the fancy word, presupposition, the faith commitment of the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? And live out of that.
Yeah.
Live out of it, and you've got it right. You live out of it with the great commandments, love of God and love of our fellow man. And please, please come to right conclusions. I use this in Visit to the Pastor's Study. I love it. We're dealing with idols here.
Yes.
Sing and believe the hymn, all idols underfoot be trod.
Amen.
The Lord is God. The Lord is God. To him be all praise and glory. There's
Amen.
The end to all counterfeits
Amen.
Of Christianity.
And don't be surprised if you get yourself accused of idolatry, because those in the communist leftist camp like to call you names of what they actually are. So don't be surprised. And if you're trying to be light and salt to society and you're doing a good job, you will be called names. You will be accused of being an idolater, very likely, in the current state of affairs. So don't let that throw you. Pastor Bill Shishko, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how would they do it?
Capital W, William, my last name, capital S-H-I-S-H-K-O, W-Shishko, at gmail.com. I welcome those emails.
Ah, beautiful. Thanks for joining us, dear listener. For Redeemer Broadcasting, I'm Dan Elmendorf. Please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.